the reviews are in, and we're going to tell you what they are. He's Todd Vandenberg. I'm Rob Steele, and we've got two things to review. One's a TV show, one's a movie. And if you thought that just having TV shows and movies were very separate things, wait till you find out what they are. Because, wow, very separate things. We're going to start with Todd, though, because we've been talking about the movie Bad Times at the El Royale for a while now, and yeah, you beat me to it.
I did, and so, I'm happy.
Good.
Yeah, it's an interesting, because yeah, we've been talking about it for a long time because the trailer looked, because all you could, there were going to be odd things happening, and you figured they would be bad because that's the name of the freaking movie, because other than that. So it didn't really give away much, and all you knew is a lot of strangers get together at this motel, and odd things would happen. And that's basically, that is what happens in the film. They get together at a, they keep calling it a hotel, but motel. It takes place in 1969. Has some cast. We'll just start with the cast. Jeff Bridges, Hemsworth, Dakota Johnson, who's better than I expected in this, John Hamm. I mean, really, really top-notch cast. Basically, I would say it is Quentin Tarantino light. It's not like, and I don't mean that in a bad way. I was expecting, hoping something kind of like Quentin Tarantino. It's very much like a Tarantino film. It's not as good as Tarantino's best films. That's not an insult, because Tarantino's best films are some of the best, to me, are some of the best movies ever, period. Could it fit in? Could you just slap Tarantino's name on it and people would say, yeah, that was pretty good? Yeah. It could. It's not as inventive as Tarantino's movies. Tarantino, throw in the usual suspects, it fits right in with that group. Lots of plots. Cinematography, not going to be on that list because that list was for the 20th century, even though, like you said in our show on previously this week, the cinematographer group threw in a 21st century film, but that's okay. Looks great. Acting is great. Basically, Jeff Bridges shows up. He's a priest, and room night at this kind of rundown motel that is on the border of California and Nevada, and the border right through the middle of the motel, and that does have something to do with what happens. The thing continues. It's also a metaphor, but it also makes a difference in the movie. Strangers continue to show up. All their little subplots. Out, almost no one is who the hell you think they are. Very, very strange things happen. I can't really say more without giving it away, but it's very interesting how all these little subplots work out. John Hamm comes out and basically looks like he's doing a riff of this Mad Men character, but a sleazier, cheesier version, and turns out that's not who he is at all in the film. Bridges is not who he appears to be in the film. Basically, nobody is who they are. Who you think they are when they first show up, except for Chris Hemsworth, who shows up halfway into the movie, and he's charismatic, kind of a lunatic. That's what he appears to be in the beginning. That's what he is. So basically he's kind of like a extremely hunky, cute version of Charles Manson, maybe. So if you get that vibe from the trailer, well, sorry I blew that for you, but that becomes apparent very, very quickly. So no surprise. Great plot twists. I really, really, the more I talk about it, the more I think maybe I like this movie even more than I thought I did. I really liked the movie, and we talked about expectations before. I was hoping this movie would be awesome, off the charts great. I think it's awesome, off the charts great. It's really good. It's really worth watching. Plots, little twists that you will not see coming. I might say there are several. And definitely worthwhile. Goddard, the writer director, also, and he was one of the producers of Lost. Cabin in the Woods, great, very underrated movie. So he has some cred going into this, which is one of why I was probably expecting it to be a great movie. Again, I don't think it's great. It's really good, definitely entertaining, worth watching. And this is one of those movies that did not find its audience at all at the box office. They made it for $32 million. Everybody must have been looking for scale, is all I can say, if they got this for $32 million, and it didn't even make $18 million. And that's a shame, because this movie should have done really well. Not a great movie, very good movie, very entertaining, suspenseful, does everything in a movie like this. It's a really cool, entertaining, suspenseful thriller. Bad Times at the El Royale. Definitely
sounds
watch
like,
it.
Sounds like something I'll be watching this week, just to catch up, if nothing else.
It's good stuff.
Actually, what I've got, I think is good stuff too, although it is very different than anything you described at the El Royale, except for probably the good storyline. I'm going to talk about a TV series that was originally on, I think it was originally on Cartoon Network, of all places, the Young Justice series, which for me may be one of the best animated series ever. I mean that sincerely. It's no sarcasm involved here. And a lot of people are going to go, "Ooh, Rob, best animated series. What about Batman the Animated Series? Because that was an incredible series." And it was. I'm not knocking that series. I'm saying this one's probably better. The thing with the Batman series was that it was episodic. You know, you can start anywhere in the series, and by the end of that episode, you know, just move on to any other episode at random. They don't really need to be in an order.
Right.
Young Justice does, because it is, each season has an overlying story arc. And, you know, you start at the beginning, you end at the end, because that's the way you should watch TV series. He says, grumbling in the general direction of his wife, who watches episodes of a series like 1, 7, 3, 26, 5. No, stop that. It's killing me. I digress.
If you're watching The French Chef, but other than that, not really.
Oh, jeez. Kills me. She's watching Deep Space Nine that way. No, don't do that. There's a storyline going on. Anyway, back to Young Justice. Originally, it started in 2010, ran for two seasons, which were excellent. Again, I'll compare it to the Batman series, which had an incredible voice cast. So does this. May not have quite the same level, but it had Miguel Ferrer, Alan Tudyk, Mark Ralston, Kelly Hu. It's got Tim Curry in it. It can't be that bad. So, you know, got some wonderful voice acting. A lot of people I had not heard of before who have done some great voice acting in this series. So that's going on. The art and animation is a lot more consistent than Batman the Animated Series was. The storyline is excellent. My problem with the way they ended the second season in 2012, and oh, this pissed me off, was they ended season two by introducing my favorite bad guy in the DC universe, and possibly in all of comic bookdom, Darkseid, who is an incredible villain. They introduced him with 9 seconds left in the show, and that was it. Until this month, January 2019, we finally get season three. Took you long enough. But they brought back the whole cast to do the voices again. It picks up pretty much where we left off. So far, 6 episodes have come out. It is no longer on Cartoon Network. Yay! It is now on the DC streaming service, which is not doing well. I'm going to recommend, you know what? Subscribe to the DC streaming service at least through June so we can get series 3 of this out. Then you can cancel it, because as far as I'm concerned, there's only 2 reasons to subscribe to the DC service right now. Titans, which is a lot better than I thought it would be, and Young Justice, which is an incredible series. And it's doing something they should have done in the movies. I'm seeing stories from books I read in the DC Comics series. That's a hint. That's where you get your stories from. They're already written. Just translate them into scripts. How hard can that be? And if you're wondering what characters are in this and why is it called Young Justice, because it doesn't follow the Justice League proper. It actually follows, and don't call them sidekicks, although I'm about to, it follows the sidekicks. It starts off with Robin, Kid Flash, Aqualad, who they made a radical change to, but that's okay. They did it in the books too. And the original one does show up eventually, which adds a really weird twist, and Superboy. and we follow them as a team, and the Justice League uses their team to do covert ops stuff. Yes, let's send the kids out to do the covert ops stuff. But you know what? That's fine. Every sidekick, and don't call them that, it makes them pissy, shows up in this series. The Justice League shows up in this series a lot.
Yes, they do.
There's a ton of bad guys. And some of them, you kind of go, I should know who that is, but I don't, because they're not wearing their costumes. And then later you go, I remember him. He was another. That's the Riddler? Is it? Okay, that other scene made more sense now. That's my one thing about it, is every so often you see someone do something and you go, I don't know who that is. But then it comes back later and that scene will make more sense, and so you watch it again. See, it's got replay value.
There you go. How would you describe Batman's character in this? Because I'm thinking about, because like you said, a lot of the Justice League members show up and Batman shows up, not like a crutch show. It's like, oh, I got to watch this because he's just...
Batman he's not quite a completely background character.
Right.
The way they have him set up in this is he's the member of the Justice League who assigns the missions to the Young Justice team, which are just called the team. That's it. Because they do covert ops, they don't get publicity and stuff, which is fine. It really does work.
It does.
And they do progression in this. They started off with, for example, like I said, Robin was one of the original ones, and it's the Dick Grayson Robin.
Yeah.
And then between seasons 1 and 2, while televised, it went straight from 1 to 2. In the storyline, there's a 5-year gap. During that 5-year gap, Dick Grayson grew up and became Nightwing. Off camera, during that 5 years, the whole Jason Todd storyline happened because there's a memorial garden with a Robin in it. That's Jason Todd. The new Robin in season 2 is Tim Drake.
Cool.
So they do go through the progression of it. And they'll go as far back as bringing in Jay Garrick, the original Flash.
That's wild. I haven't seen season 2. I've seen season 1, and I really like the way they brought Batman in. Like you said, he's the guy who gives them their assignments. He's a coach, but he's also like the kind of coach who's extremely demanding and he's a major hard ass with them. And to me, it's a really interesting take on the Batman character. And that's not the reason to watch Young Justice. It's just an added little thing that they did really well, I think. It's an awesome series. I agree.
If you want to do the sports analogy thing, Batman would be kind of like the head coach.
Right.
Your day-to-day training coach, you know, the offensive line coach is Black Canary.
Yeah.
And the person who lives with them and this is going to make sense when you see the series, who lives with them in the cave is Red Tornado.
Tornado, yeah. It's just really, really well done, I agree. And you sure as hell can't just watch episode 5 and then jump back to 2. I know, I wonder what 9 is like. It's like not going to work with this series
at all. No. Watch it in order. They're only 22-minute episodes? Watch it in order, and it really is worth it. If you are a fan of anything resembling any DC character, and I'll include, you know, Blue Beetle in this because he's in the series. The main three Green Lanterns, you know, Hal Jordan, Guy Gardner, and John Stewart, they're in this series. Although no one likes Guy Gardner.
Well, they shouldn't.
No, they shouldn't. He's not a likable character.
He's not. He's a total jerk.
they do have a scene where, because in the Justice League, Gardner's not a member of it. They have a scene where they're bringing in, who should we bring in to the Justice League? And I think it's Flash mentions, you know, there's a third Green Lantern on Earth, Guy Gardner, and Hal Jordan and John Stewart just go, no. But we could always use more power. No. But we could, no. Okay, fine.
That's awesome.
I mean, it's got humor in it, but only when it's appropriate.
Yes.
So, you know, go watch that. Go watch Bad Times at the El Royale, both of which I think are available at home at this point.
They are.
So, you know what? Stay home and see a movie or a TV series. We'll be right back.
that's pretty much it.